All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10 will be our text. In the previous three messages in the series on prayer, which you remember I entitled When God Says No, we have considered three different types of situations where God says no in answer to someone's request. First case is when someone asks to die. If you're asking to die, God will probably say no. Okay, been there, done that. When I was a teenager, he said no. You can obviously see. Okay. Number two, when someone asks for an unacceptably selfish request, God will say no. And number three, when there is sin that has not been confessed and forsaken, God often says no to the requester. Okay? To be perfectly technical, God says no in all of these types of situations because these requests are not according to his will. However, the reasons they were not according to his will were relatively easy to figure out. We finish up this mini series of messages with a look at requests that seem to be perfectly in line with what God is pleased to grant others, requests for good things, or at least acceptable things. So, why does God not always answer yes to this type of request? The short answer is that obviously these requests are not according to God's will for the specific person asking, and maybe not for this specific time. So, it may be never, or it may be just not at this time. All right. So I remember one pastor or preacher years ago when I was a teenager, or a little later, I don't know, who said that three kinds of answers to prayer are yes, no, and wait, or something better. I can't remember. Different preachers have come up with different things. But the point is, if it's not according to God's will for you at this time, he'll say no. Now notice two examples of seemingly good requests to which God answered no. The first example is where Paul prayed that his thorn in the flesh be removed. We're not told what this thorn in the flesh was, probably so that we would concentrate on the important principle rather than narrow the application to just the specific situation. I remember when this was preached on years ago, sitting in some church somewhere, and I remember thinking, I wonder what that thorn in the flesh was. And I lost the whole point of the message because I was trying to figure out what that thorn in the flesh was. Some think it was eyesight. Okay, I understand that because I've got terrible eyesight. If it weren't for these implanted lenses in my eyes, you would all be one big blur. Multicolored blur, but blur nevertheless. Praise the Lord for eye surgery. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you're open there, would you follow along as I read verses 7 through 10? Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. He has said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God answered no because it was not his will for Paul for at least two reasons. Maybe you figured that out as we were reading it. The first reason is so that Christ would be glorified, not Paul. Okay? And that's always an important principle. But secondly, to keep Paul from becoming proud as a result of all the heavenly revelations he alone was privileged to see. He was able to see some pretty cool stuff. And you can imagine if he was aware that he was the only one that was seeing this. It's kind of hard not to have a little teeny bit of pride about it. Okay. Just put yourself in that place and see what would happen with you. And so God gave him a, what do you say, an antidote to that pride. And God gives preachers antidotes to pride. I've got several antidotes, and they just take turns. But anyway, the constant humbling Paul received from his thorn in the flesh allowed Christ to freely empower him for service. You see, the swelling effect of pride will constrict the free flow of God's power in your life, just like elevated cholesterol and accumulated plaque in the blood vessels will restrict the flow of blood in the arteries. Okay, sorry, I was an EMT at one time, so okay. The point is, and you probably noticed how I emphasize again and again to watch out for pride and to nurture humility. In fact, we are studying Saul in Sunday school. How many of you remember that? Okay, you were awake. Yes, okay. And one of the first things we noticed was that he started out humble. Unfortunately, didn't end up humble, but he started out humble. Okay, the second example of a seemingly good request to which God answered no is where Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he was crucified, prayed in Matthew 26, 39, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." We're not told all that passed through his thoughts at this time, nor what specific part of the upcoming horrific trial he desired to be allowed to pass. But I know from his later words on the cross that he did not want to be separated from his Father. And the close fellowship he had always enjoyed with his Father in heaven. As I thought about that, in fact, I've thought about it many times and got choked up about it. You know me, okay? But thinking about if I couldn't have fellowship with my Heavenly Father, would I consider that the worst thing in the world to have to go through? And I felt very bad to realize, you know, I probably would not have put it at the very top like I should. But for Jesus, that really was the worst trial he could have to endure. Look with me to Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, if you would. Matthew 27, verse 46. About the ninth hour, Jesus. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Wow. That gets me every time I read that. Yet, despite his desire to escape at least part of his upcoming trials, his absolute priority was to do his Father's will rather than his own. And so, in the same verse, Matthew 26:39, he went on to say, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." So, how do we apply to our lives and situations what we just learned in these two examples? Let's review what we learned previously about praying. First, we need to make sure we have searched the scriptures to make sure we are asking for things that are in line with what God has indicated in His Word is according to His will. For instance, review the things the Lord outlined in His pattern prayer Well, the disciples, sometimes called the Lord's Prayer, but actually it was a pattern prayer for the disciples. If what we're asking for is consistent with His will as revealed in His word, then we can ask for it confidently in prayer. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says this: "This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." By the way, that Greek word means more than just, hear the sound. It means to hear it and answer it. He's really hearkening to it. Secondly, if God does not seem to answer this request, then we check to see whether there's any sin in our hearts that we are ignoring and have not confessed and forsaken, and God wants us to deal with it. And sometimes the only way he can get our attention is to not answer a prayer that we're making. By the way, it gets my attention. Does it get yours if God doesn't answer? Because we're like little kids. I want it now, that kind of eagerness to see that prayer answered. And when it doesn't happen, well, one of the first things I check is there any sin in my life that I'm not confessing and forsaking that God is bringing to my attention? And then I check very carefully, ask the Lord to show me, just as the psalmist said in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And so I check that first. And if not, then I go on to other possible reasons why God would not be answering that. Proverbs 28, verse 13, by the way, says this: "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion." In Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, we read, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." I memorized this in the King James Version when I was younger. And verse 24 says, "See if there be any wicked way in me." And so either way, it's hurtful, it's wicked, and it's hurting my relationship with the Lord. It's hurting my answers to prayer. So here the psalmist realized, "Need you to tell me, Lord, if I'm missing something." By the way, you know how easy it is to forget about your sin? You know what I mean? You sort of ignore it, and then you've got this automatic ability to just block it out. And so God has to bring it to our attention. And therefore, if you can't remember, then ask him to search you, and he will. He answers that kind of prayer. Okay. Thirdly, if God still does not seem to answer this request, then we research the scriptures again, even more carefully, to make sure we haven't missed something. And we ask God for wisdom to know whether or not we are praying according to his will. We also understand that God has a perfect timing that is connected to his answer and wants us to persevere in prayer, realizing that this is one way that God exercises and grows our faith. I don't know how many of you are interested in getting fit, or at least you were when you were younger or whatever, right, Ben? I'm sure you're over 40 now, right? Okay, so anyway. Okay, I'm still trying to get fit and I'm 67. Okay, but anyway, one of the things we notice about getting fit is that you have to keep doing it over and over and over and over. You get the point, over again, okay? Because you have to persevere at it in order to see some improvement. So God does that with us, with a spiritual exercise. Prayer is hard work. Anybody ever notice that? Prayer is hard work. I've realized that, and I hope that you've realized that. So don't think that just pray, sure, talk to God. Yep. No, real prayer is hard work. And God wants you to exercise that. And so sometimes he delays the answer so that you will keep exercising that prayer. God's not being nasty. God is not being unfair or unkind. He wants to grow you. And so praise the Lord for that. James chapter 1, verse 5 says this, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So, can you ask God for wisdom and know that it's His will? Why? Why do you know it's God's will to ask for that? It says so right there. He's just told us, okay? So we know it's His will. We know He wants us to ask for that. So that's one of the great things. When you know that God wants you to ask for certain things, put it in your notebook and remember that. And say, "Now, Lord, you said right there in James chapter 1, verse 5, so I'm obeying you here." And now say it respectfully, okay? All right. But understand that God wants to give you wisdom. So you need to want it. And if you want it, He'll ask. He'll grant that. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. "Now he was telling them," or Jesus was telling them, "a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart." King James Version says faint. The idea is give up. Okay? Don't lose heart. I remember I used to run long distance races. Okay? And it's easy to lose heart in long distance races, especially when you're running 10Ks or more. And I remember seeing some people, just you could just tell they were losing heart. It was like, they just kind of, gave up. Okay, it was like, "Oh, this hurts too bad. My side stitch is too hard," or whatever. And they just kind of, kind of quit. God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to keep going. I remember in long distance races that there were some guys who would really, just take off like a shot. And I was shaking my head saying, "Gee, it's not good. You're not gonna like that." Sure enough, about 10 minutes later, I'd pass them. Why? They used up all their energy for that burst of speed. They weren't being careful to be steady and persevere. Oh, listen. God wants us to pray and not lose heart. Keep praying. Even when you don't see an answer. Because God has a purpose in that. And He wants to grow us. Fourthly, when you have done everything you can and checked every area of your life, and God gives you assurance that you are right with Him, and you still do not receive what you ask for, then you rest in Him and trust Him, knowing that even though you may not understand why this request is not answered, you know God's character, like His love, His goodness, and His generous nature. Anybody know what my favorite hymn is? I'm not listening, guys. Yes, all right. Ding, 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 she gets it. Okay. I was counseling somebody this week, and that's one of the hymns I told that person to read through and really think about the words. That hymn really helped me.
What was the name?
"Jesus, I am resting, resting." Your homework assignment is to read that hymn tonight before you go to bed. Okay. What it helped me to do is to realize that I need to quit trying to do it myself and to rest in the Lord. Doesn't mean not doing anything, but it means quit your trying and just trust Him and rest in His enablement. And this works in prayer as well. Rest in what you know about the Lord, His character, His goodness, His love, His greatness. In Psalm 84, verse 11, we're told, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. That is a pretty great promise. That is a great promise. I hope you've memorized it. Because that reminds you that if you don't have what you think is good, then there's a good reason why God's not giving that to you or not giving it to you now. Because that promise says, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So I guess the best thing to check is, are you walking uprightly? That's the first thing to check. And if you are, then you can rest in the assurance that he will give you the good things that are good for you. By the way, what's good for me may not be what's good for you, and vice versa. You understand that? But that's not fair. Pastor doesn't fair doesn't come into it. Okay? God has a perfect, customized good for each person. And that's important to remember that. You also know his perfect wisdom and infinite power. Therefore, you conclude that if it is not in his perfect will for you right now, for you to have what you've asked him for, then you pray in joyful submission as the Lord prayed, not as I will, but as you will. Brings back memories. May the Lord give you and me grace to remember these principles concerning prayer that we have studied these 4 Wednesday evenings so that we will be encouraged to be more faithful in prayer and so that we have a better idea why sometimes God answers no to our prayers.